So what's been on your mind this week, Justin?
Well, at the forefront is lack of hot water.
Yeah.
Due to a water heater. Apparently stopping yesterday for no good reason.
Yeah.
That's at the forefront.
So in reality, the cold shower has just coagulated the blood in your body. And it's just, you're having a hard time flowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
What about you?
In the sense that, it's a good thing to experience. It makes us thankful for when we have hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm always amazed at the difference in ground temperature, how it affects the cold water. Because like in the summertime, you can't really get cold water.
You're right.
You know, to get refreshing in the shower. But in the summer, in the wintertime, you can get some pretty refreshing water coming out of that.
Some people do call that kind of water refreshing. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I was telling you earlier, of course, that taking that cold shower, my fingers, basically, they just went white. And then when I was done showering, they just started tingling.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good feeling.
And it's always fun when you have that that breathing pattern that goes along with that little bit of shock, and then you get on the other side of it, and it's like, oh, this is not a big deal.
Wait, you can get on the other side?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's a good opportunity to practice your breathing because you're very conscious. I mean, in that moment when that shocky feeling, that when that cold water is coming down across your body, it's like,
Well, I think I missed the opportunity to embrace the opportunity.
You know, after we're done recording, you could just go back in and just hop in that cold shower while you're while you have that awareness.
Yeah.
But. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
So, yeah.
What's new with you?
Oh, seems like a lot of stuff new.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just, I'm grateful for a lot of new stuff, a lot of new clients.
Cool.
Yeah, it is. And just, I guess I just seeing like reoccurring themes of God's faithfulness as, you know, you experience new clients and a desire to offer hope and, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, it's just been really neat. And I think in some ways I've been, probably more aware of it with the whole, you know, Asbury College thing, as far as, you know, that, whether you want to call it a revival or not, but that outpouring of God's spirit in that place at this time with this generation to a certain degree. And I don't say that necessarily. I mean, I'm not sure we're always trendy, and by the time we put a recording out, it might be, you know, a little later than but that's what's been on my mind this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, that faithfulness, I think that we can see, if we're willing to look for it, I think we can see it, you know, in every generation, that aspect of how God has moved in some way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, because even this Asbury Park thing, it's cool, because every time I've been reading about it, it's like they talk about how the same thing happened in, I think, the 70s or something, you know.
Yeah.
At literally the same college.
Exactly. Like
the same kind of thing. And that's pretty awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I was listening to a fellow on another podcast, you know, he was a senior. He's actually a teacher. He's actually a professor there now.
Oh, wow.
And he was a senior there in the 70s when it occurred.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it was, and he, you know, he talked about, you know, an outpouring that happened in the 40s, excuse me.
Wow. Really?
As well. So it's just kind of a neat.
Because when it happened in the 70s, they're like, this happened in the 30s too. Or
in the 40s. Yeah. To where every, you know,
30 years or so.
Yeah. Every 30 years. And it makes me wonder, you know, we're, you know, basically 2023.
Yeah.
And what happened, but it makes me wonder how many pourings we've missed out
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's necessarily a media thing, but I'm sure, you know, it just reminds me that I think God is faithful to every generation in some ways to be able to just pour out and have these opportunities to be able to say, okay, this is what I am. This is who I am. I'm accessible. And I just want you to know that I'm here. And I think each generation gets that opportunity in ways that honor God. Or I think in some ways God honors Jesus through that. You know, it's, you know, that glorification type thing. I think it's something we get to do every day as far as how we glorify. But I think those outpourings are God's way of glorifying his son and saying, okay, this is the access, this is the way. And I desire relationship. I desire to be present in your life. And it's like, you don't even have to hide from me because I'll come, you know, I'll come find you. And then that, of course, that makes me always wonder, you know, there's that part of me that wonders, okay, what is it about that institution? You know, and the individual I was listening to talked about it from the sense of, you know, I forget the guy, Jonathan Edwards. He, you know, he said some of the strongest writing about revival was by Jonathan Edwards in his opinion. And he was talking about confession is typically what routinely leads to this outpouring. And I was thinking about that, you know, I think in some cases, even in my own life, how just more so recently here, I've had that desire. I think in some cases it's routinely been there from an aspect of saying, okay, and I think we've even talked about it before in other podcasts. This is bigger than me. I want to be about doing things that are bigger than me. And so I need your help. And I think that is an acknowledgement of who we are in comparison to who God is and his ability to move on our behalf. But I see that as a little different than confession, because I think confession is that ability to recognize those ways that I have tried to do things in my own strength. And for me, you know, more so recently here, I've been wrestling with my striving versus my dependence. And, you know, that's been something that I've been trying to, you know, be more conscious about. Because like you say, you know, in our culture, you know, people may value that independent ability to do things. And I think, you know, for me, that can even become a sense of pride or arrogance that if I don't want, if I'm not mindful of it, you know, I think I can do this. And I've just been more mindful of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And yet, you know, he certainly gives us a lot of ability, right? Like,
oh, sure.
So it's almost natural for us to go, yeah, I can do this because, you know, through his grace and strength, he's allowed us to do a lot of other things prior to. And so it's,
sure,
of course, I can take this one on too. And in some senses, that's okay, right?
Sure.
Because it's part of the confidence that, you know, we've gained through, again, his grace, which we probably aren't giving credit for fully always.
Yeah.
But it is, I would say, the natural outpouring of continual dependence on him is perceived abilities to do a lot of things.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think, you know, there is that talent dynamic that we see in scripture, you know, because I think he does give us talents, you know, whether they're actual, you know, abilities or, you know, just resources that we have at our disposal. And yet I think, you know, I recognize that God wants us to use them for a reason. And yet, you know, I think for me personally, it becomes about, okay, these aren't necessarily mine just to be used to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose in it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not always mindful of, you know, reflecting about that and saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do with these versus what I'm striving to do with these?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it's been just a little more, I've become a little more aware recently. And so, yeah, that's kind of a neat thing to be able to reflect on, especially at this time, you know, when you're, you know, if you're aware.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
This is back to the Asbury thing.
Sure.
A little bit, but like, or it kind of ties into, you know, our typical conversations, but have you found that the idea of revival is polarizing in any way?
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
And how would you say that has been true?
Well,
in your experience?
I'm looking at it now and I'm just saying if I heard about it through a text message, a group text message, and I'm willing to recognize that, you know, as I've sought, you know, opportunities to hear and, you know, that kind of thing, I've learned some, but it's interesting that it's not necessarily newsworthy, you know, from my perspective. It's not like it's part of the breakdown of the evening news, if you will.
Hmm.
You follow me? And it's like, I can't think of too many other gatherings of this size, you know, where people are continually, you know, actually traveling to an area to experience, I'll call it a movement to worship and, you know, in this generation. And yet it hasn't necessarily made a news feed that I've, you know,
that you.
Yeah. Immediate, you know, just kind of a general media news feed. I haven't seen it. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but I'm just saying I haven't seen it.
Yeah. You know what's so cool about this, though? You know why it's kind of grown and gotten crazy and, you know about it.
Sure.
What do you know why?
Oh, I do not. Well, media.
What
could,
media?
Could play into that.
Not the media that you were just talking about.
No, it's social media.
Social media. Sure. Yeah. So that I've read several articles, you know, about it, just kind of, you know, whenever one pops up in my social media, I like to read about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the thing that's kind of the common thread across all these articles. It's like people in the article writing about it saying there's just something, the way this thing's going viral on social media, that's drawing people to this, you know?
Sure.
People are looking for something real and they, you know, that kind of thing. Doubt. But I just think, you know, going back to, you know, we've had an episode about social media and kind of the pros and cons to it, right?
Yeah.
And how it can... people are hungry. That's why they're doom scrolling, right?
Sure.
Through Facebook, through just, you know, scroll, show me something good.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is good, right? And
no, this, no doubt.
As this lands in people's social media feeds, there's something about it. And the other thing that stands out about this particular opportunity.
Sure.
this movement. Whatever you call it, revival, that I've heard over and over is that there's nothing particularly that stands out about what they're doing.
No, I hear you.
Every article is like, it's just people singing.
Yeah, a cappella.
A cappella. Yeah. Sometimes a guy will bring a guitar and they'll do it that way. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of been a little ad hoc, right?
Yeah.
And like the first article I read that kind of talked about the beginning of it is like, it just started as a normal chapel service with a mediocre speaker. I don't remember if it said mediocre, but it kind of gave this this context of there's nothing special here. So what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and like in our clickbait world, right? We want to know, you know, someone handled a snake and didn't die or, you know, I don't know, like whatever it is, we're looking for those sensational things. And what's, I think, so incredible about this is that what's special is there's nothing special but the spirit.
Sure.
Right? The spirit is clearly present in, sure. in this atmosphere, and it's drawing like a magnet people to it, you know? And as people see, like, this is clearly real.
Sure.
Because there's no smoke and mirrors.
Right.
There's none of that, you know, kind of traditional, what's now traditional, right? Sure. In church to have all the stuff,
yeah.
right? To kind of the draw lights, you in.
The smoke, the...
Right, yeah, right, yeah.
And, the atmosphere.
Yep. And to be clear, I'm not, you know, decrying yep. that. I'm just saying, like, there's none of that in this package. Mm-hmm. And so people go, well, it must be real.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what has stood out to me the most about the things I've been reading. Well, those two things, that the power of social media and how God is redeeming social media. And, you know, the 30 years ago at the last one of these, it was in the papers. I've seen in
sure.
those articles, like screenshots of the newspaper articles from the last time this happened.
Oh, wow.
So it was cool to kind of see, you know, like it was in some newspapers at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and we're kind of maybe, like you said, it's not in the traditional media, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's pretty cool. And I would even guess that it's probably hit some social or some traditional media outlets at this point just to be part of the, you know, what's that word? The current events.
Yeah, the zeitgeist.
Yeah, just to be able to say, yeah, we're getting, you know, we're hitting you where you're at kind of thing. I imagine it landed some places, but it's just probably a little talking point.
No, I hear you.
But yeah, I think those two things stand out. Just the social media impact that it's had in, and then just the unspecialness of it.
Well, you know? And it's interesting you say it that way. I think about it being special.
Yeah.
In the sense.
Don't hear me wrong.
No, no, no. Yeah. In the sense to the Gen Z generation.
Yes.
I think because, you know.
Yeah.
There that has its own polarization. You know, depending on who you talk to. It's like, you know, if you're just kind of talking with someone who's observing, you know, a young individual, you know, that doom scrolling, you know, on their phone, seeming disconnected, you know, that seemingly disconnected from a face-to-face contact, you know, doesn't mean that they're not fully connected in a social media world. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yeah.
And that can have its own polarizing mm-hmm. context. And yet, I think from my perspective, you know, the hope of the next generation is in this spiritual hunger mm-hmm. because I think, you know, I'll take responsibility. You know, I'm not sure my generation did a great job mm-hmm. of passing down, you know, biblical lifestyle, you know, I mean, I'm not just saying, you know, Christian relationship, but you know, that there is a fullness that can be experienced through, you know, relationship with Christ. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, my generation has basically said, well, you know, this religion stuff was forced down my throat. So I'm just going to give you the opportunity to choose what you want. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And I think that's been a disservice in some ways to this generation. And yet, God is basically able to say that redeeming, like you refer to, it's like, okay, I get where you're coming from maybe, but at the same time, I'm still going to show myself to this generation mm-hmm. in a way that says, if they want to acknowledge me, I'm still right here. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone anywhere. And you can say, you know, well, you can deny it any way you want to. But if you want to really seek truth, here's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And now the choice is yours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I like your connection to social media because I would have to agree. You know, I found out via text message and I don't scroll much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I haven't, you know, anything that I've heard, well, anything that I've heard is basically something, you know, that John was playing or, you know, a podcast that we were listening to, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. or, you know, people have been there and, mm-hmm. you know, and shared mm-hmm. what that was like. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it, you know, they were talking about, you know, how the speaker was, you know, had just kind of had a long list of things to do and, you know, just kind of going through the motions. But at the same time, God chose to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's neat to me.
Yeah, it is.
And I think, you know, the reality of it is that it just kind of speaks to the aspect of kind of maybe coming to the end of ourselves.
Yeah.
That's when God is really able to, well, he's able to show up anytime, mm-hmm. but I think that's when he desires to show up in some ways, especially in our lives, is to the point where we're willing to say, okay, God, I need you. And I recognize I got stuff in my life and I'm willing to talk with you about it. And it's at that point, you know, God basically shows up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a neat opportunity. I think it's, you know, being modeled in what we're experiencing mm-hmm. at Asbury. So that's kind of a,
yeah. And yeah, even in most of the, I would say revival moments in my own life have kind of come at the same kind of thing where, I was, like you said, coming at the end to the end of myself, but also they weren't triggered by any, any of the things you would think, right?
Sure.
You know,
such as
environment or whatever. It's like there's been moments where he showed up, and what made it so impactful in my life was the fact that there wasn't a catalyst for it.
Sure.
Right? Go sure. back to that word, catalyst.
Yes.
There wasn't something that accelerated it in my, you know, mm-hmm. in my life, except maybe that dependence, I guess, but, or like, you know, maybe at the end of myself.
Yeah.
Like you said, but I think in a lot of those moments, those sweet moments where it's like he's present and I've never felt him more present was part of what stood out. What made it so special was the fact that there was no reason for it. There was no like smoke and mirrors to produce this. There was no magical chant to create it. He just showed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's cool about this Asbury thing is, you know what? It's not about what we do. It's not about our special potions.
Yeah, it's not a conjuring.
Right, a conjuring. Thank you. Yeah. That's the word. Yes, it's not a conjuring. He just sometimes will show up and you want to be there when he does.
Sure.
And what's cool about it is people are seeing it through social media, through whatever, and saying, I want to go see this. You know, if he's going to be there, I want to see. You know?
Yeah.
And people are traveling across the world just to see what this looks like.
Yeah.
You know,
and the thing I like about that too, is like, it's still happening, you know, it's not like, you know, when I think of scripture, I think, you know, that the paralytic that Jesus healed, you know, because he couldn't get into the pool in time, you know, there was just this one small segment of time when the water might've stirred and the first one in got to, you know, experience healing. But, you know, I think that's part of the reason Jesus is here is that healing is available all the time in from a spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. We don't always get the physical healing, but the spiritual healing is always available. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that, you know, what they're experiencing there and what we're hearing about here is, you know, has been going on for days. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you, you know, desire to be a part of that, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the 70s, it went on, they closed classes down for, I want to say at least a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know,
that sounds very familiar.
And so, just, you know, it's not like it's just a momentary.
Yeah. It's kind of like the gates open for a little bit and, you know, come check it out.
Yeah.
Well, the gates are still open.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Oh, it's cool. I mean, you kind of touched on this earlier. He doesn't need this event, right, to reach us.
No.
But this is a particular kind of grace where he is allowing, you know, it to be very visible.
Yeah.
But he does the same gate opening for that period of time where you can see his glory, right?
Sure.
Personally, right? And that's how people come to salvation, and that's happening daily around the planet. And I think that's important to remember too, that he came to save, to seek and to save, you know?
Sure.
And that also reminds me of that verse about he's not slow concerning his promise about coming back, but he wants to give, this is Justin's version, maximum opportunity to come to him, you know, before his return, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking about that with you as you were kind of, you know, recognizing those moments when, you know, you experience that fullness of God and the non-conjuring. What do those moments have in, you know, what makes those moments for you? In other words, what do those moments have in common as you've experienced them? Other than the lack of lights, and can you share?
Well, you know, yes. What makes them unique is how present his spirit is, you know, or he is, you know.
Sure.
And it's all consuming to the point where essentially life resets. And that's why I say they're personal revival moments, right? It's a reminder of like, oh, right, this is what life is.
Yeah.
Not all the other stuff. All the other stuff is meant to support this and is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's basically thinking about a child who is doing his own thing, maybe wandering towards something dangerous, and a father, you know, coming over to the child, getting down on his level, grabbing his two cheeks, looking at him in the eyes and saying, listen, son.
Sure.
You know, and it's kind of that kind of feeling where I have no choice but to look into his eyes, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really hard to explain, but they're definitely, like I said, life resetting moments.
Yeah.
Where those blips are like literally life changing for they. So I have one example.
Yeah.
That had a pretty big impact, which, so this is probably 8 to 10 years ago. I had a friend, acquaintance kind of person that I respected in my work community, who basically came out as an atheist. He basically kind of wrote his testimony, right, on a blog post about how he became an atheist.
Okay.
And he described an upbringing of church and different things. And that thing shook me in a weird way. To where a lot of the questions he asked, I'm like, yeah, what about that God? Why? You know? And just a lot of those things, you know, natural doubts that we have. And so I kind of had this, I was wrestling, struggling with God about why, you know, I expect you to do these things, so why don't you? You should meet some of our expectations. Why not? You know?
Sure.
And, yeah, looking back, it reminds me of Jesus talking to the Pharisees, saying, you know, you had Moses in front of you, you had these miracles in front of you, and you still, you know, now you have the light of the world and you're blind to it, you know. It reminds me of that. But anyway, back to the story. and I was just very, just struggling with doubt, you know, more than I ever have about salvation, about God, about everything. And yet I still was clinging, and it wasn't like I was giving up. It's just like I was frustrated. And it was like that for a couple of weeks. And yeah, just wrestling. And then there was a moment of surrender. And
still pretty fresh.
Yeah. Like I said, life-changing, right? Where I just said, you know, I give up. Like, I don't need these answers. I need you, you know, with or without them.
Sure.
You know, and that was not the moment.
Yeah.
Like, he let me live in that kind of give up, surrender, I would say, for a few days. And so it was like I was expecting him to show up, prove yourself.
Sure.
And a couple of weeks didn't happen. I felt drier than ever, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally said, you know what? You know, giving up. Like, I'm not about this. I'm not going to force you to do something, but I need you. And it doesn't matter if you're going to, like, show up in front of my face or not. Like, I need you, and I need the hope that comes with you, you know?
Sure.
And again, it wasn't right away, whatever, but there was a few days later, I don't remember how long, where I was just sitting at my kitchen table in the morning, and don't remember what I was doing. I think I can't even remember if I was reading my Bible or not. It was just like a peaceful morning, and he just showed up.
Oh, wow.
And I just was overwhelmed with his presence.
Yeah.
And, and it was a reset, you know?
Sure.
It was a good father giving a good gift without my expectation, you know?
Sure.
Saying, I want to give you what you want, but sometimes what you want isn't what you need.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And what
he's always willing to give you what you need.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I needed was to step into that faith one more time. What I needed was to trust blindly. And then he offered the good gift of his presence of like, and I can't explain it to you other than to say, if you experience this, you'd have no doubts.
Sure.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
You cannot look away from that, you know?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean this lasts permanently the rest of your life. I'm just saying, like, in that moment, you don't leave that moment thinking, you know?
Yeah.
It was supernatural in my, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an example where, I mean, that was revival for me. That was, you know, and, you know, I was on life support, right? And
sure.
It was the, what do you call that? The machine.
Yeah, the AID.
Sure.
The defibrillator.
Yeah.
Automatic.
Clear. It was one of those moments where he brought me back to life, full, you know, heart pumping again, back on track. And
Yeah.
So like a personal revival. And again, what's distinct about that situation is nothing except his presence.
Yeah.
There wasn't a catalyst. There wasn't a conjuring. There wasn't a, in fact, there was almost the opposite. Like, I'm going to conjure and you better show up. And he didn't. And I said, fine, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I don't know.
No.
I don't even
know
what the question was. Yeah.
No, I just, what those moments had for you in common. And I appreciate you
every
sharing.
Every one of those moments had in common that father grabbing my cheek kind of feeling of like, you won't see anything but me right now. And again, that resetting feeling of like, oh, right.
Yeah.
This is you. This is all about you. This is, you know, and the next steps were very clear, you know,
sure. Just
like, it's like how you imagine life should be if you just had full faith, like just knew without a doubt he loved you and he's going to take care of your every need. The birds of the air, the flowers of the field, that whole, it's like if that world you imagine you want to live in, when you hear those things, like, man, that would be nice.
Sure.
When those moments happen, it's like, oh, I can do that for a little bit. Like it's that resetting to where it's just much easier to deal with everything, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And I like your analogy of the father's hands on my face type thing. Cause I think, you know, it's look at me. And I think, you know, it's not a forceful thing, but it's an opportunity to say, okay, yeah, you've looked at a lot of things. You have, we need to recognize you have some idols, mm-hmm. whether that's consumerism, whether that's, you know, individualism, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, I'm here. Mm. And, you know, all of these other things are going to disappoint, mm-hmm. but I won't. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that, you know, people haven't been disappointed by God. Don't get me wrong there.
Well, so I was just going to comment about that specific thing, which is mm-hmm. idols are essentially miniaturized versions that we can understand better of God,
sure.
right?
Sure.
You know, whether it's a physical idol sitting on the shelf at home, or you build this version of what you think God is and should be, and that's yes. the God you worship. It's an idol if you're holding to some things that he's not, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that is what that grabbing of the face says.
Like, yeah.
That's not who I am,
you yes. know?
And it's an opportunity to go, all right, I have to cast away that idol. Because like you said, sometimes it's all kinds of, it's easy to,
sure.
yeah, anything to become an idol. But again, sometimes we build our own idol version of God that sure. says, you know, he'll show up when I call and he'll, you know,
yes.
like a genie in a bottle. And
he's,
I don't know,
like he's obligated to
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Or any version of him that's just not accurate, you know. Or, you know, a common example when people lose faith is when they expect him to show up to meet a certain need and he doesn't.
Yes.
That's such a common place for faith to go, you know, and for us mm-hmm. to lose sight in, and to, and again, that's an idol to,
sure.
for whatever that expectation we have, if he doesn't meet it, mm-hmm. then we're misunderstanding who he is.
Yeah.
Fact, because he never changes. He's always good.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we don't, you know, it's like, no, I believed you were good until now. Now I know you're not,
mm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's that idol version of him that we believed he looked like this. He was shaped like that. He fit into that box.
Sure.
And, you know, and he was predictable and I knew how he should work. And mm-hmm. it all fit into my mind's construct of what God should be. The problem is if you can fit him in your mind,
mm.
he's too small.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I appreciate you because you were reminding me when you were talking about that as far as that Jonah, you know, when he's down, when he talks about being in the belly of the whale, you know, and the seaweed had wrapped around him, and he basically shares, you know, I have exchanged the blessings of God for worthless idols, you know, and you know, I think we can tend to do that because what we want to say God is isn't always who it is, whether it's prosperity gospel or, you know, all these other things that we kind of hold God to, or mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, the healing of a person, a physical healing of a person, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't happen. I agree with you 100% on that from, you know, that's when the disappointment sets in
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, God isn't good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we have those moments when we come to the end of ourselves and we recognize, okay, I wasn't necessarily seeing God accurately, and he's willing to say, okay, now I can show you,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit of who I am.
Yeah.
I'll give you a glimpse of who I am.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To bring that peace
right
back again.
Yeah. And hope and joy.
Sure.
And purpose.
I mean, contentment.
Essentially, if God gives you a glimpse of himself,
mm.
it resets all of those things and all the things you read in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they all come into back into view.
Sure.
You know, and that's just how big he is, mm. you know?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, hope and pray every one of our listeners has or will have an opportunity to experience that, because there's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
And so when you read books about faith leaders or, you know, like mm. different things where they just talk about how sweet he is, and like, I don't know, like when there's a faith there that is unshakable, right?
Sure.
When you read about some of those, what's her name, who wrote Hiding Place?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. All I can think of is Harriet Beecher Stowe, but that's not her.
It's the woman. Lady who's not Harriet Beecher Stowe. She exactly. wrote the book A Hiding Place. Man, I can't. Well, it'll pop in her brain little bit. It will. Just you wait. But anyway, she had, you know, she was in prison camps in Nazi Germany and all this stuff. It'll come. Don't worry. I know. You just got to let it go.
I'm thinking Bonhoeffer now, and I know it's not, but it's still a German.
It's also not Fanny Crosby, which also came into my mind. Let's just say all the names that are not correct.
I got to get them out, then that way the right one can come to float to the surface. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, she, her inner sister, who she kind of held up as like the example. It's just really cool reading that book. You think, I thought, you know, just reading, hearing about that book all my life is going to be about just her incredible faith. And really, so much of the book was her talking about, I was hanging by a thread, and half of that thread was my sister's faith, you know?
Yeah.
And but they both clearly had experienced this God, you know? The showing up that said, you can't ignore me. You know, I know you're in the worst place in the planet, in the worst situation, and yet, you know, you can't forsake me, you can't leave me, you know. And there, she even described like anger and different, you know, like, why would you let it be this way? And all, of course, you know, and yet the inability to walk away that sounds bad, but in this like hope way that says, I've experienced who you are, you know?
Sure.
Anyway, so I was just trying to say, like, these moments are, I feel like, what turns someone from a casual believer to someone who, I don't know, it's transforming.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I think as you described, you know, when you think about, you know, faith leaders like that, I believe, you know, I would say most, if not all, have come through that storm type dynamic that Jonah, you know, no one else to depend on.
Yeah.
And okay, to the end of all of my strength and the end of all of my resources, and yet God was still faithful.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's a huge part of that.
And just to clarify too, kind of the other side of that is what I just, you know, called a casual believer or whatever. There's nothing wrong with faith that isn't backed up by those moments. That is what Jesus talked about when he said, blessed are the children, let them come to me. You know, faith like a child. It's this idea that I don't have that, but I don't need it because I have this childlike faith. And in other words, Jesus would not decry that faith.
Sure.
He would hold it up as the example and say, you know, this is the ideal, to believe without sight.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's also a good father to say, sometimes I know you need more.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that. Because what he does is he, you know, opens a zipper of heaven, kind of lets it shine down in this very narrow scope to me or you or whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That kingdom, you know?
Yes.
And, yeah. And that's, again, that's just a good father saying, you know. And again, we expect that, like a genie in a bottle, just, you know, I need a shot of that once in a while, you know, and get me back on track. And, you know, that's not how he operates. He's not a genie.
Yeah.
But he's good. Either way, he's good.
You know? Yeah. And I was thinking of the movie Lion, Witch, the Wardrobe, Aslan, you know, where he talks about, you know, he's at the end, he's they were talking about he's good, might know, but he's not safe.
He's not safe, but yeah. He's good.
He's yeah.
Something like that, right?
Something to that effect. It made me think of it. Yeah. But
I still can't think of her name.
That's okay. You can probably, there you go. I was surprised you didn't Google it sooner.
I really thought it would just pop in.
Yeah, I believe you. And I actually was able to shift away from it long enough to be able to allow it, but.
Hiding place by.
Fill in the blank. And I know this is the reality. I know there are so many in our audience, you know, listen, it's like, you guys, are you kidding me? Right. You guys couldn't think of her name? I mean, come on. They're screaming it practically.
They're trying to slap us through the speakers. Come on. All right. What's the number that comes after 9?
10. Mm-hmm. Corey Ten Boom.
Yeah.
There you go. I like to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I guess Corey, I don't think of, but yeah. And then the other Ten Boon, like say, it's not
common. Yeah, which means we should have remembered.
And that's where that's the connection with Bonhoeffer though. It was like a Ten Boon, you know, it's
Ten
like,
Boon Bonhoeffer. Exactly. That's good.
But so yeah, but thanks for sharing along that line, Justin. Mm. Appreciate that opportunity to get a greater glimpse of Justin in that process of the good father and that visual.
I hope that's not all you see.
Well, no, I'm just saying that visual of, you know, the fact that God desires to, you know, kind of hold all of our faces in his hand and say, okay, I realize, you know, you've looked to a lot of other things to try and fill, to try and avoid, to try and, you know, but hang on, just look at me. Despite all of the other things that we can be distracted by, you know, but.
Yeah. And you started this conversation earlier. You mentioned kind of the prerequisite, right? Do you remember what you were saying about the position we needed to be in?
Sure. Like confession and just kind of that aspect of recognizing that I am.
Yeah. I think the word I would use there is surrender.
Oh, sure.
Right? Because confession is a catalyst for surrender.
I hear you.
I'm going to use that word right now. It accelerates our surrender, right?
So I hear you.
It's definitely a catalyst
for
surrender. And surrender is, I think, a key.
Oh, sure.
And so I don't, you know, know who's listening, what situation you're in, but I definitely think there's people out there who are saying, that sounds amazing. Why doesn't he do that for me? Mm-hmm. You know, or whatever. Or you know, I'm really in need of something like that, shot in the arm kind of thing. And I mean, I would say start with confession.
Sure.
Start with a place of surrender.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And wrestle with him.
Yeah.
Like Jacob, you know.
No doubt.
All night if you have to, 2 weeks if you have to.
Yeah.
You know, saying, I want something from you and I'm going to wrestle till I get it, you know.
Yeah.
And then still surrender. Neither of those things kind of go hand in hand, and yet they do.
Right.
Because when you wrestle with God, you will surrender. There's no winning, you know. Right?
There's no winning until you give up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and surrender. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, but there's something in the contending as well, you know?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Hmm. Yeah.
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 So embrace this opportunity for revival. Because it's a real thing.
Yes, indeed.
We're seeing it. You know, some people say it's not, some people, whatever. And I would just say revival is always possible in any moment, you know, and you just want to be there when he shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up, Mark.
Not a problem.
Good topic.
Yes, indeed. That's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.